And joining me in the KRBS studios this afternoon is Joey Pons, affectionately known as the safety guy on campus. But your formal title, Joey, is?
It's a mouthful. I'm the Associate Director of Public Safety and Risk Manager, which is why I prefer safety man.
Safety man, yeah. Yes. And, you know, I think people, it interests people to know what kinds of positions we have here at the university, because we're like a small town. We're a small community unto ourselves, of course, interacting constantly with the larger community. But we have to be conscious of the fact that we have people who live here year-round on campus, and you're in charge of having policies and encouraging changes that will help the safety of these people who live here. Well, both the people who just work and those students who live here, some almost year-round.
Yeah, that's true. My job is pretty diverse. It's never a dull moment. Mm-hmm. Part of my job, of course, deals with traditional occupational safety type of situations and risk management, insurance-related issues. But a big part of my job is emergency planning. The university is a small city, and we have to be ready for a diversity of emergencies.
That's right. We have thousands of kids living here on campus.
Yeah.
So one of the, of course, one of the emergencies that you're constantly aware of for almost half of the year is the possibility of a hurricane happening.
And it's, of course, that time of year.
It is that time of year, and people who are watching the news are aware that the first tropical storm has been named.
We're out of the gates.
That's a good way to put it. So, of course, you've been thinking about this all year long and making sure that we do have these plans in place for the university. So we'll talk a bit about what we do have going on here at the university and then maybe spin that out to how other people could use some of these suggestions in their own lives.
Absolutely. I think the university has had a formal hurricane preparedness plan for a long time, but certainly before Hurricane Katrina. The evolution of emergency planning for universities has changed a bit. It's gone away from being very disaster specific, like when this bad thing happens, we're going to do 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's gone away from that to being more of an all hazards type of approach. The university identifies the type of disasters that it has to recognize. It identifies the resources, both human and non-human, that it needs in order to be prepared for that disaster. And then essentially what we know is that even though individual disasters have their individual characteristics, for the most part, the response is centered around getting the right group of people together in the right place and then working the plan from there. So it becomes more of a centralized effort. Now, having said that, the hurricane is the most, I guess, prevalent natural disaster that we have to worry about. And unfortunately, we've had some practice in the past.
We have, yeah. And it extends not only through the summer, but well into the fall when we have thousands of students here.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the peak of the hurricane season, at least for this part of the world, is usually right smack dab in the middle of the fall semester, mm-hmm. When things are really hustling and bustling. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, we have an extensive team of human resources that are involved in the planning process. We've probably got 50 different departments that have some direct involvement in getting ready for a tropical storm or a hurricane. And we have specific trigger points that the university uses to decide at what point in its plan it's going to be acting, depending on the particular circumstances.
Well, give us a sense of the scope of the response. I think people listening might be thinking, well, the first thing is get students off campus. But that's only one part of the entire response.
Oh, yeah. This is a huge breathing machine, the university. There's a whole lot of components to it. Obviously, we have to be concerned, as you mentioned earlier, about student residence and about student life in general. But we have to be, of course, concerned about academics. We have to be concerned about extracurricular activities, not just athletic activities, but things like debate team trips and student organization activities and so forth. We have to be concerned about research. Just because a hurricane or a tropical storm shows up doesn't mean that some research can stop. I mean, in particular, our research in biology involves plants and animals and things that have to be taken care of.
Certain temperatures and climate control
regardless
situations.
Of what happens. Mm-hmm. So we have to be cognizant of that. I mean, those research obligations have have huge ramifications on the business of the university. I mean, it's a not only a financial issue, but it's an intellectual issue. It's very important. We have to be concerned about that. We clearly have to be concerned about our friends in New Iberia at the New Iberia Research Center. That's a big part of our planning process. And so from a planning perspective, from a management perspective, it really involves primarily for me a situational awareness about everything that is going on at the particular time and making sure that the right people who need to know about that know about it so the decisions can be made intelligently.
Well, I think just that description makes people understand the complexity of what you have to deal with. And I know that you also encourage, and you're obviously, you're having to be aware of all of those layers and making sure the right people are there, but you've also encouraged every department and group on campus to have their own individual. They're not just waiting around for you to show up with the plan.
That's right.
They've been encouraged to come up with their own individualized plans.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. The plan is essentially divided into three phases, and we've kind of put a little twist on it. The phase one we call get ready. Phase two we call get set. And phase three we call go, G-E-A-U-X.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so when we call the departments and say phase one, their plans are primarily centered around, you know, checking to make sure resources are available, fill up the fuel tanks, look at what needs generator, doesn't need generator, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Phase two is getting a little more serious. We believe that a school closure is either imminent or very likely. And so discussions are being had by that. So now departments have to focus their plans on sustaining themselves while the university is closed for whatever duration that is. And, of course, that can change. The complexity of that can change from department to department. And then, of course, phase three, which has never happened as of yet, would be if Lafayette Parish was under a mandatory evacuation set forth by the parish and state government, then we would have to be prepared for that as well. So it's relatively simple, but it's relatively complex at the same time.
Well, give people a sense of, and you mentioned a few departments. Of course, the biology department has some issues. What would some of the more, traditional academic departments need to be aware of? What kinds of things do they have on their plans?
Well, I know that one of the primary focuses is that we have 13 weeks of class in a semester. I don't know that there's any rule or law that says that those 13 weeks have to be between this date and that date,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
The bottom line is if we're going to get credit for the semester, we have to have a certain amount of class. And so our administration is very focused on making good decisions, keeping in mind that the academic calendar has to be preserved. And so that's always a big part of the discussion, is to consider the classes and make sure that we have adequate instruction time.
Right, and we not only have the undergraduates, but graduate students whose work is very crucial. You did mention biology, but there are other graduate students in research who are expecting to receive their PhDs on time, and that research is of prime importance to them.
Absolutely. And those examples span the entire breadth of our colleges. It's not just a technical or a scientific issue. Our liberal arts colleges have projects. Our liberal arts college and our College of Arts has projects. We have a lot of performing arts issues that we have to deal with. Some of these graduate programs are not simply classroom-related activities. There are laboratories that are involved. You can't take the lab with you when you evacuate. You have to be cognizant of that. We have large-scale mainframe computers that are used to crunch big numbers for projects. Again, you can't take the mainframe with you when you evacuate. So all of that has to be brought into the picture when we're making good decisions.
Yeah, this is a huge entity to try and shepherd through an emergency like that.
It is, but I tell you, I'm very blessed. We have a huge team of people who are well-trained. Unfortunately, some of them have been trained by experience, but nonetheless, they are trained, and we work very well together. And the help that we have is not limited to Raging Cajuns. We are plugged into the city parish government. We have a seat at their table, their emergency planning table. We are also plugged in at the state level and even at the federal level. And so, you know, the model that we use is the same model. It's based on the National Incident Management System model. It's used nationwide at all kinds of levels, And we're very fortunate that we have a lot of support. Right. We really do.
And even though you mentioned that some of the technical aspects of our university community are very important to the community, we have to be careful to ensure their safety, ensure their continuance. You're also helped by technology now in ways that we probably couldn't have dreamed of before. We were talking about that just before we came on air, how much technology has helped in certain situations. And you have an extensive network of contact, ways to contact people, professors, students, administration now that you didn't before.
That's right. We do. We use things like the emergency notification system where we can send text messages and emails out right away to people to give them important pieces of information. We also have a lot of state agencies have terrific interactive websites and phone apps that can be used to help people, even your listeners at home, to make good plans. One such website that I do recommend is getagameplan.org. That's a state of Louisiana Governor's Office of Homeland Security website that has fantastic information for people at home to get themselves ready. Not the usual kind of, you know, have batteries and water type of plan. Everybody knows that. It delves into other things like insurance and evacuation routes and things of that nature that maybe not everybody's thinking about.
Right, a little more complex than some of the things that you deal with when you're thinking about emergencies here on campus.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I would think it would make a lot of parents feel much more comfortable knowing that the university is in constant contact with students in case there is an emergency or a situation. People aren't waiting, confused, waiting for the news to tell them something. They get it immediately, either through text, as you said, or an email, or a phone call. And, I mean, it's fascinating to see that go into effect. Every once in a while, you all do a test.
And we do.
I love those tests coming through because I realize just how effective it is. My phone rings, I get a text, I get an email, and I know that should anything happen, I and all of the students here on campus would get that same information.
Yeah, the concept of notification is an interesting one to me. We know and we've learned early on that we have to use multimodal methods of communication, and we need to do that because, quite frankly, the university is not in control of the total communication process. If we're sending a text message to your cell phone, for example, at some point your cell phone provider has to take over, and I don't have any control over that. So what happens if the cell phone network goes down? Well, we use email with, you know, email servers, and then we also use voicemail with landline telephones, and we, you know, if we have to, we'll stand on the top of Wharton Hall and send smoke signals.
But the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, but the bottom line is you have to have an effective emergency notification system, you have to use a multitude of technologies because you can't rely on any one particular technology to work all of the time.
That's right. Well, it's very effective here on campus. Yeah. And if you are just tuning in, my guest is Joey Pons, safety man here on campus, involved in all manner of issues that affect our daily lives here on campus, but also with the larger community. And as he said, you all have a place on the emergency panel that deals with things that affect us, hurricanes and other issues. And of course, you're always thinking, in addition to thinking about what happens here on campus, some of those same issues can, of course, be implemented in our personal lives. And you mentioned the getagameplan.gov. That's a very useful site. But just in thinking about some of the things it's on people's minds right now, in what you do to prepare those of us here on campus, what are some of the things that people might not be considering? They might be thinking, you know, generator and water. But
sure. We could start with some of the low-hanging fruit. Obviously, you want to be able to sustain yourself without electricity at home for a minimum of 3 days. Most people would recommend a week. If you're choosing to evacuate, and I would recommend, if recommendations are made to evacuate, frankly, I would recommend you heed those. It's hard to make that decision. I know it's hard for people to make that decision when the storm is 2 days away, for example. The weather's nice outside. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that bad. But the reality is, if you wait like everyone else to the last minute, you are likely going to get caught in traffic, and it may be more dangerous for you to be sustaining the weather out there in your car, out of gas, than it would be for you to stay home. The best choice would be to leave early. Most people will find that the traffic is very light very early in the morning. I mean, much earlier than you'd normally go to work. But that may make for a more pleasant evacuation. So I would recommend if people are asked or recommended to leave that you heed that recommendation. Treat it like a short summer vacation. The kids might enjoy it too. But of course, we all understand those types of those recommendations. Some of the other things that people may not be thinking about. If you have family members that are in nursing homes, now is a good time to go to the nursing home or to the assisted living facility. Talk with the management. Ask them to show you a copy of their emergency plan. Get a good feeling for what they're going to do if the facility has to be evacuated so that you have a good level of comfort in terms of what your loved one is going to have to do or not do in the event of the emergency. Start thinking about flood insurance. Understand that if a tropical storm or hurricane is in the Gulf, that underwriters will not write flood insurance. You can't get it. Even if one is not in the Gulf, a storm is not in the Gulf, if you buy flood insurance today, it won't go into effect until 30 days from now. And so we don't know what the weather is going to be like next week, much less 30 days from now. So now is a great time to think about flood insurance. And if you reside below I-10, I recommend that you can strongly consider flood insurance, regardless of where you live or if you are required to have flood insurance or not. Because if you don't have flood insurance and you flood, your homeowner's insurance is not going to cover it.
This isn't like going to the store to get a generator and waiting in line.
No, it's not.
And again, we're talking about some of these hurricane preparations with Joey Pons here at UL Lafayette because hurricane season is now a month in, and we do have the first named storm out. It doesn't look like it's going to come near us, but
no, ma'am, it
gets us thinking and thinking about these issues. And another thing, when you were talking about university preparations, a lot of it has to do with not just personal safety, but the safety of information. And that's also very important on a personal level, too.
Yeah, it is. I mean, these days, what we're talking about is the fact that, you know, the internet has turned into a huge resource of information for all of us. It's not only turned out to be helpful on the commercial side, but it's really turned out to be helpful on the government side as well. I mean, lately, the interactive websites that are available, for example, getagameplan.org, really helpful, and these phone apps that they are coming out with as well are really helpful as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I was going to mention regarding some things that your listeners might consider, particularly regarding evacuation, if you go to the getagameplan.org website, you will see the evacuation routes, the official routes that are available. You can count on those routes to be very congested. If you make a decision to evacuate and you evacuate early enough, you may be able to use some alternate routes, some state highways or even local roads that will facilitate your evacuation quicker. But you can't do that while you're traveling, even if you have a GPS on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
mm-hmm.
not practical. What I would recommend is take a look at the state of Louisiana website. Come up with a couple of routes, maybe one that goes northwest and one that goes northeast. Because, of course, you won't know exactly where the storm is coming from. But at least you'll have two routes in mind to get yourself out of the state and on your way towards safety. Highlight those routes on a map and stick that in your glove box. And so you're kind of ready to go before it's even time to talk about going.
Yeah, I can just imagine the next evacuation, Joey, and these certain routes are congested with people. And they're going, but Joey Pons told me.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
But it's, absolutely.
It is going to be – it's always a congested thing. It's a crowded thing. I know that always I stay here. I'm dealing with the university issues. My family, my wife and my son and daughter, they're my children are grown now, but my family knows that early on, if we're going to go, they got to go.
And they have to without
that's
you.
That's right, because I can't do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And worry about them. So.
Mm-hmm. So lots of information on the web, really good information about all the layers of what it takes to deal with an emergency like a hurricane. whether it's one that is just bringing heavy rains and wind, or one where whether people have to really evacuate. So lots of great information. But in addition to emergencies like the hurricane, which you said is the one that we're all familiar with, the university is also very concerned with the health of students, and you also have plans should there be an epidemic. You think actively about just a few years ago, because of certain events that happened, the students all now get meningitis vaccinations.
Yes,
so one thing that has just happened recently, and we're going to talk more in depth about it as the semester gets closer, but something people may have seen a headline about that they're just interested in, there are going to be some new tobacco policies here on this campus. Maybe tell us just a bit about that right now.
Yes. Recently, the university's adopted a tobacco-free policy. The policy does go into effect August the 1st. We released this information to the public early because a policy of this nature has the ability to affect a lot of people, and we wanted them to have plenty of time to get used to the fact that it is coming. In 2013, the Louisiana legislature passed a law that said that all public universities have to be smoke-free. And in keeping with the context of that law, the spirit of that law, the spirit of that law, of course, is not to tell people to quit smoking. The spirit of the law is to encourage, is to tell people that they cannot smoke on campus, and to encourage them to quit if they want to quit. And so that was the premise behind the way the policy was drafted. The decision was made to make the university tobacco-free. And we are now currently going through our final preparations to get ready for that August the 1st.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to having you back in August, just before the semester starts, to talk a bit about that and some other safety procedures that you think about as the semester gets started here. If you have just tuned in, my guest is Joey Pons, the safety man on campus. He is in charge of emergencies like hurricanes, epidemics, anything else that might affect the students, faculty, staff, and the larger university community. So we appreciate your time, Joey. I know you have busy days always, things we can't even imagine that you have to deal with daily. So we appreciate it, and we look forward to having you back. Now, I know you have a website here at the university as well with some recommendations.
I do, and I'd encourage your listeners to give it a look. It's safety.louisiana.edu.
Okay. Lots of interesting information there, safety.louisiana.edu, and also the getagameplan.gov that you mentioned earlier.
Dot org.
Dot org.
Yes, ma'am.
Dot org. Thanks so much, Joey.
Thank you.